Imagine for a moment, you need quick funds. You look out at your garage.
Yeah.
What if that classic car isn't just, a passion, a weekend thing,
Okay.
but a powerful, maybe even liquid asset? Something capable of unlocking some serious capital.
It's a surprising thought for many, I bet.
I'm sure it is.
But it absolutely is reality,
Yeah.
and maybe more accessible than people realize. What's really fascinating, I think, is how these cars, these automotive masterpieces,
Right.
they aren't just beautiful things to look at. They're tangible sources of, well, significant capital,
Yeah.
especially for high-value loans.
Exactly. And that's what we're diving into today, this exclusive world of luxury classic cars. And their, frankly, surprising potential as collateral for those big loans, often through like luxury pawn shops,
That's
right?
a common route, yes.
So our mission for you listening is to go deeper than just the looks. We're going to break down the top brands, unpack their iconic histories,
And crucially,
and pinpoint the specific things, the nuances that make certain models super desirable and incredibly valuable assets.
we'll uncover exactly how their heritage,
Yeah.
sometimes extreme rarity, and even, yeah, a bit of movie fame,
Like Bond.
like Bond. It doesn't just add cool factor. It directly adds to their financial muscle. You'll understand what makes these legends hold and often actually gain huge worth.
Turning them into more than just cars.
Exactly, into sophisticated financial tools in a way.
Okay, let's unpack that. Classic car valuation, especially for loans. What are the absolute, like, core drivers pawnbrokers look at first? How do they get that initial figure?
Well, at its heart, it's a sort of trifecta. You've
Yeah.
got desirability, how much do people want this car?
Right.
Then the verifiable condition.
Yeah,
That's huge.
obviously.
And current active auction prices. That gives you the baseline.
Okay, baseline. But what gives it leverage for a loan?
Well, for a pawnbroker assessing risk, the real leverage comes from rarity.
Rarity.
Yeah. Is it a specific special edition? Does it have unique documented specs?
Right.
Things like that.
Why does that increase the loan potential so much?
Because it significantly increases the loan-to-value ratio. Basically, it lowers the lender's risk. They know that car is easier to sell and probably sell quickly if they need to.
That makes perfect sense. Easier to move. Okay. Speaking of desirability, undeniable cool. Where else do we start? But Aston Martin.
Secret agent's choice.
Right. Their story is more than just speed, isn't it?
Oh, definitely. Aston Martin, founded way back in 1913, but it really cemented its identity during the David Brown era, starting in 47.
David Brown, DB, got it.
Exactly. That's where we got the legendary DB series, the
Wow.
DB2, 24, Mark III, DB4, DB5, DB6. Those are the cars that really built a reputation.
And for a pawnbroker, what's the key insight there?
Well, the key insight is how Brown's vision, elegant, powerful grand tours, created this consistent demand that just endures. It offers reliable collateral.
And when you say consistent demand, James Bond inevitably pops up.
Can't avoid it.
How does that movie history specifically translate into a better loan-to-value ratio compared to, say, a non-Bond Aston or another classic?
That's a really crucial point. The Bond connection, it isn't just prestige, it genuinely creates a higher floor for
The
valuations.
floor.
Yeah, baseline value that's just consistently higher. And it amplifies market demand. So when a pawnbroker looks at a bond-associated model,
Yeah.
the DB4 from Thunderball, the iconic DB5 in
Yeah,
Goldfinger,
the classic.
they know it has this enduring cultural cachet. It stabilizes its value. This often means they can offer a significantly higher loan percentage against the car's market value.
How much higher are we talking? Ballpark.
Sometimes maybe a 5-10% uplift compared to a similar model without that direct cultural link, simply because its market liquidity, how easily it sells, is so strong.
Wow. So it's not just nice to have, it's actually a measurable financial advantage. Okay, let's dig into some specific Astons. What should listeners know about their unique valuation points?
Okay, take the Aston Martin DB4. Dates back to 1958. Its baseline value is solid,
All
right?
right.
But if you have a GT variant or a Vantage variant, that immediately signals extra rarity, better performance.
Okay.
For a lender, those variants are a more exclusive, more sought-after asset, which translates directly to a higher potential loan amount. The resale market is just stronger, more targeted.
And what about some of the other beauties, the ones collectors love?
Well, consider the DBS V8, launched late 60s.
Yeah.
Now, the original DBS had that powerful V8, but the power bulge on the hood,
Right, you know that look.
especially on the earlier ones before they smoothed it down, that's a distinct aesthetic some purists really value. Knowing the specific version you have there, or at least five, is key. Subtle production differences can create these little micro markets of higher demand.
Interesting. And the original DBS itself?
The original Aston Martin DBS, made from 67 to 72, only 787 ever built.
That's not many.
Not at all. Extreme scarcity makes it incredibly collectible. And it was another Bond car.
Double whammy.
Exactly. Rarity plus cinematic provenance. A pawnbroker sees that as exceptionally secure collateral.
But the DB5, that's the true legend, isn't it? What makes it such a powerhouse asset?
Oh, without question. The DB5 isn't just a movie icon. It's a remarkable car, period. Produced for only 2 years, 63 to 65.
Just 2 years? Wow.
That limited production, combined with its unparalleled global recognition, thanks to Goldfinger and, you know, other appearances, mm-hmm. makes it one of the most well-known, most popular cars on the planet.
Right.
That mix of rarity and just universal appeal creates this consistent high-value demand that very few other vehicles can touch. It means fantastic liquidity for any lender.
And beyond Bond, any other specific desirable specs?
Sure. Special editions, like the Aston Martin V8 Vantage Prince of Wales spec. Mm. It's got distinct wheel arches, no side skirts, little details like that. Those are examples where an expert can immediately spot a premium for its uniqueness and documented history.
Okay, so quick recap for Aston Martins. Beyond the model itself, it's special edition status, age, condition, mileage,
yep.
registration docs, proof of any big alterations, even who owned it before.
Absolutely. Significant previous owners can add value. For these high-value assets, every verifiable detail genuinely matters. It's why a proper appraisal goes way beyond a quick look.
Gotcha. Okay, shifting gears. Another British powerhouse, but maybe more. Understated power, Bentley.
Ah, Bentley, yes. W.O. Bentley founded it in 1919. His whole philosophy was combining luxury with raw performance. Came from his love of engineering and racing.
How does that founding idea impact its value as an asset today?
Well, that philosophy created a really distinct market position. Bentley wasn't just luxury, it was performance luxury.
Right, the combo.
Yeah, so it attracts a wider range of buyers. People who love the craftsmanship, but also those who demand driving power. Their early success, you know, the famous Bentley boys in the 20s and 30s, that established a racing legacy that still echoes today. For a pawnbroker, this long reputation for both luxury and capability means a more stable, predictable market value. Less risk often means better loan terms compared to brands with maybe a less consistent identity.
And they're still pushing limits. I remember hearing, wasn't it Idris Elba, broke a land speed record?
That's right. The Flying Mile UK record in 2015, over 180 miles per hour, so about 290 kph, in a Continental GT speed.
That's serious speed.
It's a powerful modern link back to that racing heritage. Bentley today, it still has that reputation as the quintessential classic British car. Royalty, celebs, they love it.
Mm-hmm.
Owning one isn't just about taste. It suggests an understanding of assets. How something beautiful can also be robust, useful financially. Their consistent high-end appeal means they hold value remarkably well. Solid collateral.
That consistent value, that's the key insight right there. Auction results really show this across different eras, don't they?
They really do. You see something like a 1956 Bentley S-Type Continental Sports Saloon sell for, what, £281,500?
Wow.
But then even a more modern classic, like a 2002 Bentley Continental R. Mulliner widebody, can hit $165,000.
So value across the board.
Exactly. It shows Bentley's value isn't just stuck in one vintage. The brand's quality means strong demand for good examples across decades, a reliable asset for a loan.
Okay. From Bentley's consistent power, let's jump to something defined by extreme rarity. Bugatti.
Ah, Bugatti.
Yeah.
Ettore Bugatti, founded 1909. Quick racing success, Type 35 Grand Prix cars.
Right.
Plus those other ultra-high-value models, the Type 41 Royale, Type 55 Roadster, the gorgeous Type 57 Atlantic. This isn't just a car brand. It's like automotive aristocracy.
But the history is dramatic, right?
No.
And that affects value.
Absolutely. What's truly fascinating and directly relevant to loan value is the brand almost died out.
Really?
Yeah. Ettore died in 47. His son had passed away 8 years earlier. The company basically died with them, produced only one more model before the assets were sold off in the early 60s.
So the early cars are incredibly rare.
Unparalleled scarcity for those pre-war and early post-war models, yes.
But it came back, which must add to the mystique.
It absolutely did. The brand saw a modern revival.
Mm-hmm.
An Italian entrepreneur, Roman Artioli, bought it in 87, led to the EB110 supercar.
Okay.
Then Volkswagen bought the name in 98. And that led to the hypercars we know now, the Veyron, the Chiron.
So that fractured dramatic history.
Of extreme rarity, especially for the pre-Artioli and Artioli era cars, it translates into these super exclusive ownership circles. and to significantly boost their loan value. A pawnbroker looking at a rare Bugatti knows they're dealing with an asset whose value is less likely to swing wildly with the market, purely because of its scarcity and history.
The smaller the production run,
often the higher the loan-to-value ratio can be.
Correct. Okay. From Bugatti's rarity to Ferrari's racing blood. Enzo Ferrari, 1939. But here's the bit I find amazing. He apparently saw building road cars as a grim necessity, just to fund racing.
It's a counterintuitive point, but yeah, that's pivotal to Ferrari's asset strength today. Well, Enzo's reluctance meant fewer road cars were made early on. Simple scarcity. He wasn't aiming for mass market. There were a means to an end, funding the racing team, Scuderia Ferrari.
Okay.
That created this lineage of cars born directly from racing tech, making models like the 250 GT, 308, 328, Dino, Daytona, Testarossa, incredibly sought after. For a lender, that racing DNA, the limited early production, it signals exceptional pedigree, a dedicated high-value collector base, highly liquid cars.
And with Ferrari's rarity is obviously key, but there's also just time working against them, isn't there? Driving prices up.
Absolutely. The law of entropy, basically. Yeah. Older models naturally get damaged, lost, scrapped over the decades.
They were survivors.
Right. Reducing the number of pristine examples left. This natural attrition increases the value of the survivors. It's why classics like the legendary 62 Ferrari 250 TTO command those absolutely eye-watering prices.
Millions.
Many millions. A pawnbroker knows an asset like that is probably only going to get rarer, strengthening its long-term value as collateral.
And it gets even more extreme with the one-offs. What kind of financial impact does that have?
Oh, huge. One-off, few-off concept cars. Like the 71 3Z Spider or the 65 Dino Berlinetta Speciale. They command extraordinary value for loans.
Oh, why? Just the uniqueness.
Precisely. Their unique provenance, the fact they are literally unique pieces of car history, means they can significantly boost potential loan amounts. Lenders see them almost like fine art. A specific curated market, often attracting a different tier of collector. That ensures a very high loan-to-value percentage.
Assuming the paperwork is perfect.
Oh, documented originality and racing history are absolutely paramount for those kinds of vehicles. Non-negotiable.
Right. Okay, shifting again. Another British icon, Jaguar. Rebranded from SS Cars in 45. Really known for sporty, luxurious cars. How does their focus on, well, beauty translate into asset value?
Jaguar's enduring design is a key differentiator. The E-Type, for example, often called the most beautiful car ever made.
Can't argue with that.
That kind of universal appeal creates a broader, more resilient market for their classics. Unlike some designs that might, you know, age badly. Jaguar's icons like the Mark II, the first real performance saloon, arguably, and the XJS, they just keep their visual allure. For a pawnbroker, a car whose beauty lasts through eras is a safer bet.
Means more potential buyers down the line?
Exactly. Ensures a consistent pool of interested buyers, highly liquid collateral. We definitely look for documented restoration, matching numbers to verify originality. That boosts loan potential significantly.
Okay. From British sportiness to German engineering with incredibly deep roots, Mercedes. Their history goes way back to the very beginning, doesn't it? The Benz patent motor wagon.
Indeed. Often considered the first proper car. Since then, Mercedes-Benz has built this huge range of beautiful, luxurious, fast cars. Very diverse appeal.
And what's crucial for value retention there?
Well, that long, continuous history means a vast, well-supported network for parts, for expertise. That's a major factor in keeping classic models valuable.
Good point. You can actually fix them.
Right. Valued classics like the effortlessly beautiful 500K or the 300 SL Gullwing. Many see that as the ultimate classic car.
Iconic.
They're renowned for design and engineering integrity. These aren't usually fragile museum pieces. They're often robust enough to actually drive, which adds to their desirability, and by extension, their loan potential.
And the Pagoda SL series. They seem to have a real cult following.
That's Pagoda SLs, yeah.
Right.
Made since 63. They're a perfect example, known not just for elegant looks, but also for really stout mechanics and relative ease of maintenance compared to some other classics from that era.
Beauty and reliability. Good combo.
It means they appeal to collectors and enthusiasts who want a classic they can actually use. For a lender, that translates into a stable, liquid asset. We'd look really closely for rust-free bodies, full-service history on those. Their mechanical robustness makes them very sensitive to proper maintenance records. Big impact on loan value.
Makes sense. All right, let's wrap up for Porsche. This one has that truly surprising origin story. Ferdinand Porsche's first big job, designing the VW Beetle.
It's incredible, isn't it? Shows his foundational genius. And on the back of that success, Porsche could then design and build their own cars. which, you know, became hugely popular for brilliant driving dynamics.
The icons.
The iconic 911, obviously.
Yeah.
The early 356 Open Spider. And what many call the last true analog supercar, the Carrera GT. Their reputation for just pure driver engagement makes them perennial favorites.
And the market for Porsches, there are some specific really hot trends right now, aren't there, value-wise?
Absolutely. Air-cooled models, they are particularly buoyant value-wise.
Why is that? What's the magic of air-cooled?
Well, it's a sound, the feel, the mechanical purity of those earlier engines. Enthusiasts cherish it. Modern Porsches are amazing machines, but they're water-cooled now for performance, emissions.
Right.
The older air-cooled ones offer this distinct, really visceral driving experience you just can't replicate. That intense demand drives their prices higher, makes them exceptionally strong assets for loans.
Given that, what's a common mistake people make about Porsche value, especially when thinking about a loan?
A common misconception is that any old Porsche will hold incredible value. While many do, pawnbrokers have to be super specific. For newer models, say a 718 Cayman.
Okay.
We're looking for minimal, ideally zero damage, especially on cars over 3 years old. Mileage is a huge factor. Valuations drop significantly starting around 25,000 kilometers, even more at 50, 60,000 kilometers.
What else do you check?
We meticulously check wear and tear. Components like clutches, air conditioners, condensers, common issues like worn synchros in the gearbox or a failing AC can knock thousands off the potential loan amount.
I can only imagine the expertise needed to spot like fraud, mileage tampering.
Oh, it's critical. Our experts are trained to spot warning signs that mileage has been fiddled with.
Oh.
You look at things like the quality of the disc brakes, the condition of the rims, tire tread depth. Compare it to the claim mileage. For instance, brand new disc brakes on a 718 Cayman claiming under, say, 10,000 kilometers. Right. That's often a red flag. It might suggest a mileage rollback. Those cars are often rejected for high-value loans. The smallest detail can reveal a big devaluation.
That level of detail is intense. Okay, what about the really big-ticket classic Porsches, the true icons?
Right. The highest valuations often go to historic 911 variants and the Porsche 356 Coupe.
The very first one?
Exactly. The first revealed car in Porsche's history. Often seen as an antique in the entire automotive history. These can easily sell for over £500,000.
Wow.
Ultra-rare proto models from the 50s, like a 356 Cabriolet, maybe around £700,000.
Yeah.
And certain Porsche 911 variants, they can genuinely command more than £1 million.
£1 million for a Porsche.
Especially if their provenance, their history, links them to a specific event or a big cultural moment, that solidifies their status as absolutely top-tier collateral.
Staggering values. Okay, finally, the pinnacle of craftsmanship, Rolls-Royce, some of the most renowned luxury vehicles ever made. How does that supreme craftsmanship translate directly into asset value over time?
That supreme standard of craftsmanship is Rolls-Royce's core identity, really, and it translates into unparalleled durability and timeless appeal. Unlike many other luxury cars, a well-kept Rolls-Royce depreciates very slowly, and older vintage models can actually appreciate significantly.
Like some great collateral.
Incredibly attractive. What's fascinating is how consistently well they do at auction. That validates the perceived value in the real market.
You're not kidding. Tell us some of those record breakers again.
Well, the 1912, the Corgi Rolls-Royce sold for, wait for it, £4,705,500.
Almost £5 million.
Astonishing. A 1904 two-seater went for £3,521,500.
Incredible number.
It demonstrates the power of heritage, that artisanal quality. A pawnbroker knows a Rolls-Royce represents an asset with a very high, very consistent floor value.
So when appraising a Rolls for a loan, what specifics are you focusing on beyond just general condition? What makes the difference between a good loan and a great one?
Okay, the primary factors are definitely age and rarity. Now, normally, older cars are worth less, right?
Usually, yeah.
But an older Rolls could be significantly more valuable if it's considered vintage or collectible, especially those made in small, documented numbers. Condition, though, is paramount. Mint condition gets the biggest sums.
But what if it's not mint?
Well, what sets Rolls-Royce apart is even heavily used cars shouldn't just be dismissed. The underlying quality means restoration can be highly worthwhile, provided the core structure is sound. Don't write it off without an expert look.
And service history must be absolutely crucial for a car like this.
Oh, vital. Absolutely vital. Documents proving regular, meticulous servicing are key.
Why so important?
It confirms the car's been maintained to the right standards. It shows which parts are genuine Rolls-Royce parts. Ensures everything works. Classics with original parts are often worth significantly more. And a verifiable service history dramatically boosts the financing value. The car is just more likely to hold its integrity, its value, for years. Any gaps, any inconsistencies, major red flags for a lender.
What an incredible journey. Through car history, hidden wealth, we've covered Aston Martin's movie magic creating value floors.
Bentley's understated power ensuring consistent demand.
Bugatti's extreme rarity attracting niche lenders. Ferrari's racing roots driving scarcity.
Jaguar's timeless beauty guaranteeing wide appeal. Mercedes's deep history promising solid engineering.
Porsche's driving dynamics commanding collector passion. And Rolls-Royce's ultimate luxury assuring enduring asset value.
Wow. And if you connect all that back to the bigger picture,
mm-hmm.
it really hammers home that provenance, rarity, condition, even cultural impact. They aren't just fuzzy concepts.
Right.
They are precise, measurable factors. They can turn a vintage car into a significant liquid financial asset, especially for these high-value loans. It's about understanding the specific why behind why this car is worth that much.
So whether you're listening as a proud owner, maybe thinking about options, or you're a keen enthusiast looking for your next investment, or maybe just curious why these machines are so special, you know, you hopefully now have a deeper, more nuanced understanding of the hidden wealth, the rich history behind these automotive legends, and how that translates into real financial power.
And it does raise an interesting question, doesn't it? In a world that's so focused on the next new thing, rapid tech changes.
Yeah.
What is the enduring value, often the escalating value, of these classic cars really tell us? Of the lasting power of craftsmanship, of heritage, timeless design.
Something to think about.
Definitely something to ponder long after the engine cools down and you close the garage door.